Romans. The beginning of Paul's apostleship, Paul regarded the occasion of his formal ordination as marking the beginning of a new and important epoch in his life work. It was from the time of this solemn ceremony, when, just before he was to depart on his first missionary journey, he was separated unto the gospel of God, that he afterward dated the beginning of his apostleship in the Christian church. A strong church in Rome, notwithstanding the opposition, 20 years after the crucifixion of Christ there was a live, earnest church in Rome. This church was strong and zealous, and the Lord worked for it. Debtor through accepting Christ, in what sense was Paul debtor both to the Jew and to the Greek? To him had been given the commission, as it is given to every disciple of Christ, "Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." In accepting Christ, Paul accepted this commission. He realized that upon him rested the obligation of laboring for all classes of men, for Jew and Gentile, learned and unlearned, for those occupying high positions and for those in the most lowly walks of life. A growing understanding of faith, the righteousness of Christ is revealed from faith to faith, that is, from your present faith to an increased understanding of that faith which works by love and purifies the soul. C. Nature acts as a silent preacher. The material world is under God's control. The laws that govern all nature are obeyed by nature. Everything speaks and acts the will of the Creator. The clouds, the rain, the dew, the sunshine, the showers, the wind, the storm, all are under the supervision of God, and yield implicit obedience to Him who employs them. The tiny spear of grass bursts its way through the earth, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. The Lord uses these, His obedient servants, to do His will. The fruit is first seen in the bud, enclosing the future pear, peach, or apple, and the Lord develops these in their proper season, because they do not resist His working. They do not oppose the order of His arrangements. His works, as seen in the natural world, are not one half comprehended or appreciated. These silent preachers will teach human beings their lessons, if they will only be attentive hearers. Nature's revelation imperfect, the most difficult and humiliating lesson that man has to learn is his own inefficiency in depending upon human wisdom, and the sure failure of his own efforts to read nature correctly. Sin has obscured his vision, and of himself he cannot interpret nature without placing it above God. He cannot discern in a God, or Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. He is in the same position as were the Athenians, who erected their altars for the worship of nature. Standing in the midst of Mars Hill, Paul presented before the people of Athens the majesty of the living God in contrast with their idolatrous worship. Quoted. Those who have a true knowledge of God will not become so infatuated with the laws of matter or the operations of nature as to overlook, or refuse to acknowledge, the continual working of God in nature. Nature is not God, nor was it ever God. The voice of nature testifies of God, but nature is not God. As His created work, it simply bears a testimony to God's power. Deity is the author of nature. The natural world has, in itself, no power but that which God supplies. There is a personal God, the Father, there is a personal Christ, the Son, quoted. The ancient philosophers prided themselves on their superior knowledge. Let us read the inspired apostles' understanding of the matter. Professing themselves to be wise, he says, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator? In its human wisdom the world cannot know God. Its wise men gather an imperfect knowledge of God from His created works, and then in their foolishness they exalt nature and the laws of nature above nature's God. Those who have not a knowledge of God through an acceptance of the revelation He has made of Himself in Christ, will obtain only an imperfect knowledge of Him in nature, and this knowledge, so far from bringing the whole being into conformity to His will make men idolaters. Professing themselves to be wise, they will become fools. Those who think they can obtain a knowledge of God aside from His representative, whom the Word declares as the express image of His person, will need to become fools in their own estimation before they can be wise. It is impossible to gain a perfect knowledge of God from nature alone, for nature itself is imperfect. In its imperfection, it cannot represent God, it cannot reveal the character of God in its moral perfection. But Christ came as a personal Savior to the world. He represented a personal God. As a personal Savior, He ascended on high, and He will come again as He ascended to heaven, a personal Savior. He is the express image of the Father's person. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.